18 to 20, we are looking at the book of Corinth, right? This will be the seventh section, if I'm not mistaken. Hallelujah. Book of Corinth, but the 28th from verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, so teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am is with you always, even to the ends of the world." Hallelujah. So we said that will be Jesus' instruction. Matthew's summary of Jesus' instruction within the 40 days, right? 40 days of his teaching, and we summarize it as raising disciples. Hallelujah. And we say, when you hear the word Matthew, to raise disciples, you have in the background the local church. Hallelujah. Making the church a place where disciples are raised. Is that what we've been looking at? Hallelujah. The church becomes the primary place where disciples are raised. Glory to God. Don't say, "I'm raising disciples in the church, I mean, for God, in the mosque." No. Hallelujah. Or, "I'm raising disciples," no, anywhere believers are gathered together. Hallelujah. For this cause, it's called the local church. It can be under the tree. It can be in somebody's bedroom. It can be in somebody's house. You get? It can be even in, if believers are gathered together in a shrine and they didn't touch the word, it's called church. Are you hearing me? Amen. It's not idol worship. Glory to God. Idol worship is not in the location. Idol worship is a person. It's in man. We are not looking at that today. Glory to God. But we're jumping into what we'll later see as we continue. Glory to God. So, we have in the background the local church. Amen. So Jesus also tells us within that gathering, he now tells us how that will be done, how raising disciples will be done. He said teaching them. So that's the word that school, teaching them, the act of instructing. So that means when we gather together, there are activities. You will find activities. Glory to God. And what is the what is the primary activity? Teaching. Teaching becomes the primary activity when believers gather together. Primary. Teaching. So teaching them to observe all things that whatsoever I have commanded you. So you find teaching. And the teaching will be specific. Glory to God. So, with that, we can say the church, the garden of believers, ought to be a teaching school. And that is something that we will keep emphasizing for a long while. Glory to God. The gathering of believers ought to be a teaching school where the word of God is taught. See, the gathering of believers is not a miracle center. Don't miss it. Can we have miracles when the word is taught? Yes. Don't close your mind to it. Are you following me? Don't close your mind to the fact that you can receive miracles when the word is taught. Glory to God. But you know the primary reason why we gather is to know God, is to be taught. Are you following me? Are you following me? I'm going to bring in two things there now. So that's the primary reason that we find. And I said we'll keep emphasizing it. The church ought to be a Bible school. Ought to be a Bible school. Know that one well. The church is not a place for praise worship. I mean, no, it's not a place for praise night. Generally, not a place, no. The place is a place where we come to worship God, right? In the person of His Son, in the knowledge of His Son. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word of God is taught. Word of God is taught. Amen. 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 I'll read what Kenneth Hagin said along this line. He said the local church, he says, if the local church takes up his responsibility, there will be no need for a Bible school or what you call a seminary, because that is what the local church is. The local church is a Bible school. Are you hearing me? The local church is a Bible school. It ought to be a Bible school. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you look at Ephesians 4, look at Ephesians 4, 11. Put turn her to Ephesians 4:11 quickly. Okay, how should I do it? Put your hand in Ephesians 4:11. Let's jump down to John 20 first. John 21. Put your hands in Ephesians 4. Look at John 21. I want to read Jesus' instructions to Peter. So now you understand something. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. And while he dying, Jesus said to Simon Peter, I said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me more than this? And he said to him, yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said to him, feed my lambs. Did you see that? He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me, lovest thou me? He said, Jesus, he said to him, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. Did you see that? Feed my sheep. He did that to him twice. Now when he says, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, that would be a figure of speech. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't having heads of fish, of sheep, like some have rabbits, you know. Hallelujah. Wasn't having heads of sheep. Wasn't training sheep. He was not. Hallelujah. But when he says, feed my sheep, Peter knows he's talking about what? He's talking about what? Come on. His disciples, right? His followers. In fact, if you go down to, because you're reading John, you go down to, look at what he calls them in John chapter 10. Just go, let's backtrack a bit. Look at what he calls them in chapter 10. Are you John 10? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, very verse 1. Okay, let me just speak to some, okay? Look at verses 9 into 11. He says, I am the door. If any enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pleasures, and find pastures. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I'm come that they might have life. Right? Who? That they might have it more abundantly. Who? Look at verse 7. It says, verily I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see that? Hallelujah. So he's calling those who are with him his sheep. He is the shepherd. Hallelujah. So now he's about to leave the scene physically. Hallelujah. But he now gives a responsibility to Peter. He says, feed my sheep. He doesn't expect Peter to now go and bring grass or import grass. And now said, okay, Thomas and every other person, the 120 come, let's eat grass. No. When you feed my sheep, he's referring to teaching them the word. Right? Come on, right? Teach them the word, to train them, to bring them up spiritually. Right? Come on. Now when you use the word feed my sheep, when you feed my sheep, that is the work of a shepherd. Right? Right? Is that the work of a shepherd? So he hands that responsibility of himself being the shepherd to Peter. Glory to God. I want to follow where I'm going to now. Now, when he now uses that, when you get to Ephesians 4:11, you'll find that similar word used again for pastor. Are you hearing me? Poimen. Are you following me? So that is leadership position he has called Peter to. Glory to God. Are you following me? Come on. And he tells them, feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. We will get to Ephesians. Your hands still in Ephesians. Let's see what they did. In Acts of Apostles chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5:42. I hope you're following me now. Acts 5:42. He says, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus as the Christ. You see that? They thought they were deliberately teaching. Are you following me? What were they doing deliberately? Deliberately teaching Jesus. chapter 2, verse 42. Says, talking about the new covenant, and this continued steadfastly, right, in the apostles' teaching. Do you see that? Continued how? In the apostles' teaching. So that means, when Jesus tells Peter, feed my sheep, would you have in the background the local church? Come on, would you have in the background the local church? Hallelujah! Glory to God. Remember, he also would not tell them collectively to do what? Make disciples, teaching them. You see that? So you have in the background local church. Are you following what I'm saying? So you have the local church. You have teaching. Amen. So Paul now opens that leadership position in the local church. And look at what he now says in Ephesians 4. 11. It says, and he gave some apostles. It says some prophets, some evangelists, some pastoring teachers. You see that? He uses that word, some poimen kai didaskalos. You see that? So pastoring teachers. This is that. Now, when you use the word some, I've told us that some doesn't mean a few, right? Right? Come on, I've taught you that, right? Now, this is for the what? Perfecting of the saints. Do you see that? Can you see that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Therefore, the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, take that word, perfecting. That was the word in the Greek that implies to equip. To equip. The equipping of the saints, to be fitted. Do you understand me? Glory to God. So, the ministry gift is to equip us in the local church. Do you see that? Are you following it? It's to equip us in the local church. It is for the perfectness of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Come on, let's look at verse 12. I mean verse 13. Till we all come. Now when you see it, till we all come to the unity of faith. It's talking about what? Spiritual growth. Right? Now, unity of faith is not a height we... How should I put it now? How do people even use this? I have used it years back like that, but it's actually wrong. So when it says to the unity of faith, that unity of faith, he calls it what? He says to the knowledge of the Son of God. Do you see that? So when he says to the knowledge of the Son of God, that means he's talking about teaching, right? You will be taught. Glory to God. Glory to God. The knowledge of the Son of God. He said, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Glory to God. So that means we are taught to grow spiritually. Right? 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 Okay. Hold to grow spiritually. That will be spiritual growth. Right? That we henceforth, you see that in verse 14, be no more children, tossed around and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the slight of men, and cunning craftiness, by the lightning, wait to see. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ, right? From whom the whole body filthy joints together, and compacted by which every joint supply, according to the effectual working of his, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. So what is he talking about then? He says, the knowledge will bring about doing. Hallelujah. Will be found in what? Activity. Glory to God. Glory to God. Every part does. So, that means our knowledge will now be found in our what? Walk. Are you following me? Glory to God. Something else to see quickly. So, that means the end point of teaching is what? Spiritual growth, we've seen, right? Which will be found in the local church, right? Right? Are you following me? And the end point of it will be found in us what? Doing, right? Okay, and that doing will be, is what he would have called for the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That doing will be, now, firstly, we'll find it in the work. Glory to God. You carry out work of ministry. I'm trying my best not to say something. And that is why I have to rush back to my notes. I don't say what I ought not to say today. Glory to God. But I'll say them next week. So it's as if I'm linking today to next week. Next week is Holy Ghost meeting, don't worry. So I'm going to, it kind of gets me. This is because I prepare my notes almost together. Okay. Are you with me? Okay. So, first of all, I said spiritual growth in the local church will be seen in activity. Activity in the local church, right? Come on, you take up responsibilities in the local church, right? Take up responsibilities in the local church. Also, in our work of ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Therefore, we are taught to do. Are you hearing me? We are taught to do what? To do. We are taught to do. Paul wants Philemon to extend love to Onesimus. He writes to him. Right? Right? That's love that we have heard about. He said, I need you to extend it. He said that the communication of your faith might become effectual. Right? So he writes to him. Jonathan, that he can extend. So he now knows to do. Do you understand me? So spiritual growth will be seen, or we are taught to do. Okay? To do what? Work of ministry. Right? Right? We are taught, it will be seen in our actions. It will be seen in our activities in the local church. Something else. And this is because very, very important. I will try as much as I can in subsequent teachings to be able to go down with it. Go a step further with it, maybe next week. Is the fact that you are also taught, you see, a believer is not a mass of knowledge. I don't want to use that word. I tried coining it. A believer does not just amass knowledge, I know this, I know that. And he's not saying in your activity. That's not spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not you being able to quote 1 million scripture. Do you understand me? Is it wrong? No, it's not wrong to know scriptures. But what is the essence of what you know when you don't put it to work? It's not growth. Are you following me? Knowledge is there, but it's the knowledge of the word you know is to help you act. The knowledge of the word you know is to... I also need to say this. You don't know to stop doing the things that you do fervently for the Lord. You don't know to stop it. Are you hearing me? For example, let me give an example. You're learning the word, and then you stop going after evangelism. You're not growing. Are you following me? So, no, I know the word, I can't. I still know things. No, you don't know anything. Hallelujah. Knowing the word without acting on the word or doing the word is not knowing the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me? Amen. So you know to do. So can we put it like this, that the knowledge of the word of God that you know, you'll be seen in your actions. If not, you don't know. You can tag that one 10th dimension of knowledge. Hallelujah! Maybe you call it, oh, okay, this is epic dinuskoic dinusko. But you know to do. So when you know I am not doing, you don't know. When you think, okay, let me like, when you think you know and you are not doing it, you don't know it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something else. When you know and you become proud, you don't know anything. Are you following me? My going this route is deliberate. I'm deliberately going this route for some reasons. And we also find similar things anywhere in the church in Corinth. Hallelujah. Who I'll show you when we begin to read Corinth. You see, it's similar. Glory to God. Glory to God. They know. But they don't act. Okay, let's look at the case of eating food sacrificed to idol. Did we look at that last week? Yes, we did. And I said something about powers. When Paul was to get to those sets of gods, they had people that had knowledge. Right? They had knowledge. So, for what Paul answered, you know, Paul had to calm them down. Right? He now brought them together with those who were not even knowledgeable. And as they see, your knowledge is void. If you know, and then your brother is offended. Do you understand? So he now says, for the sake of my brother, I'd rather not eat. That is the application of the fact that you know. Are you following me? You know, Paul would have just said, those people who don't know now know that an idol is nothing. Do you understand? But no. Glory to God. He said, no, you that know, that you feel you know that you are being pompous, I know, what's the sacrifice idol? You know? Nothing. I know, but I'm offended. And I said, no, for the sake of my brother, I'd rather know it. Do you understand? That is the application of knowledge. That shows you know. Glory to God. So the end point of knowledge, that's what I'm going to. The end point of knowledge is not pride, it's due. Love. Do you understand? It's due. We see it in the church. It's not to parade, no, it's due. And glory to God. So love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, one more thing. Knowledge will lead you to worship. Any knowledge that doesn't need you, that doesn't lead you to worship is not knowledge. Are you following me? It will lead you to worship. Glory to God. It will lead you to worship. So when you hear worship, it's another ambiguous word. But it will lead you to worship. Let's end it there. Glory to God. Amen. I hope you are following me. Aha. Because when we begin to read, this will come out clearly. Hallelujah. As we begin to read, you will see those sects playing out. You see those sects playing out. You see. Glory to God. And that will be after CRC. Right? I said that. After CRC. So we begin to read. So you now start seeing those sects. Oh, this is what pastor is saying. Oh, this was what pastor said the last time. And you now see how Paul was able to manage it. Glory to God. Did I say manage it? He was able to address it. And in addressing it, he would say, hey, the knowledge you know. He didn't say it literally, but you know, from the way he addressed it, he was telling you the knowledge you know is void except you do what? Do you understand? Aha. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, teaching. We looked at teaching. Okay. Let's go further a bit. Since the local church is where the word of God is taught, right? And explained, as we said. Therefore, we said the Bible teacher is an interpreter. So, by now we should know that a Bible teacher is an interpreter. A Bible teacher is an interpreter. A Bible student is an interpreter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, when I get to study the Bible, I approach studying the Bible as an interpreter. Glory to God. Are you following me? I approach studying the Bible as an interpreter. Because that is my role. Amen. I told some of our pastors in the early hours of the morning, I told them that, see, we're having a discussion, and then I said, let's take the seat of the first audience. Right? I said, let's take the seat of the first audience. Leave Paul. Jonathan, I said, leave Paul one side. It's not that Paul is wrong, but some of us, what we do is that we are looking at, and I admitted that I also put the same thing too, but and I said we've not even started scratching it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and I said, leave Paul one side, because we always learn to run to Paul. Jonathan, we always will learn to run to Paul. Let's look at what Epistle says. It's not wrong, but you know, you sit in that seat of the first audience, hear what they heard. Jonathan, hear what they heard. Look at it well. You discover that when you are interpreting, you arrive at the same answer. You just say, oh, this was why Paul had to write this way. Do you understand? Glory to God. You arrive at the same answer Paul arrived. Glory to God. So just like that. Amen. So the work of a Bible student or a Bible teacher is that work of an interpreter. Hallelujah. When he reads scriptures which are written to an audience that is not he and not himself, because when you are studying, you are the audience there. Hallelujah. So you are reading a book written to an audience that is not you or your audience. Do you understand? Hallelujah. And it was written not in your language, even if you are reading King James. The original one was not written in your language. Jonathan, King James is an interpreter. NIV is an interpretation. Amplify is an interpretation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, it's written in a different language from your language, and yet, the message is the same. Glory to God. The message is the same. So, the work of an interpreter is to translate it to his audience, which is yourself and the people you are talking to, right? Translate it to your audience in such a way that the message communicated is not watered down. Communicated in such a way that the message is not watered down at all. Hallelujah. The message is not watered down. And we saw Jesus, right, in Luke 24, 27. Luke will say what he did to them within the 40 days was what? A diamenil. A diamenil. He called it diamenil. It means to interpret a language. Right? He did a diamenil. He interpreted the language. So, how? He's reading and explaining the 39 books written in Hebrew. Right? To a Greek speaking dominated audience. So how do you think he would do it? Are you following me? Hallelujah. How do you think he would do it? He had Gentile audience. Right? He had Gentile audience. How do you think he would do it? And at that point, Rome was the language that was predominant was Greek. Hallelujah. So, there's not like Roman language. Hallelujah. That was dominant. What was dominant was Greek. Hallelujah. So Jesus will give a sense to the 39 book. Are you following me? That is, he will do a diamenio of the 39 books to them, to an audience that was not that audience. And what will he do? And he will make sure in doing that the use of words are not watered down. Glory to God. Are you following me? So that becomes the role of a Bible interpreter. Look at, even in the 39 books, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. Are you there? Verse 8. Says, so they read they read in the book of the law, who read? Ezra did, right? In the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the origin. When it's here to give the sense, it means to interpret. Hallelujah. Within that Tatanai, even within the Hebrew, are you following me? They still have to give the sense. That is to say, they have to interpret to that audience. Why? They've been led to captivity. Their language has evolved. Even in Hebrew, it has evolved. So yes, you still have to give a sense to it. So it's not like Jesus started interpretation. No. Do you understand? It's something that has always been. Are you following me? Glory to God. And we looked at We looked at some of these things, right? How to interpret scriptures. We looked at that. But before that, before we get there, you know, also watch out for those who will tell you their Bible teachers are not Bible interpreters. There are people who say that. Hallelujah. Yeah, me, I'm just a pastor. I'm not an interpreter. I just want to just read and just understand. You see, every Bible teacher can't run away from the fact that he's a Bible interpreter. Are you following me? Eh? You can't run away from it. No, you can't. As a Bible teacher, you're a Bible interpreter. You have to read well. You have to read seriously well. Amen. Amen. So we looked at that. So we said to interpret, you have to sit in the seat of the first audience and hear what they heard, right? Right? You hear what they heard. Sit in that seat and hear what they heard. And then sitting in that seat to hear what they heard, you must understand the fact that what? You must understand a very crucial fact of what? Understanding the context of what was being said. Context. Context of what was being said. So we viewed context from two parameters. Right? We viewed context from two parameters. The immediate audience and then what was prevalent in their world. Right? Was that what we said? Right, what was prevalent in their world and the immediate audience. That will actually help you in your translation or in your interpretation of scriptures. Hallelujah. And then you adopt the skills of identification unifier. I guess I will begin to talk about that from our next teaching. Any next crucial major teaching. Hallelujah. Talk a bit about so that you know how to use identification unifiers. Hallelujah. Little by little. Hallelujah. No rush. Small, small. Poco a poco. Right? Alright? Step by step. Amen. Amen. So when you take the seat of the first audience. So in our study, we're going to take the seat of the audience in Corinth. Right? So we take the seat of the audience in Corinth. Remember, we looked at, you have to understand what is called context, right? So context will mean I have to know first what was prevalent in their world and what was prevalent to those he was writing with. Right? Right? Remember, I gave us reasons why scriptures were written last time in the last section. Why scriptures were written or why epistles were written. So now we'll look at what was prevalent in the church that he wrote to and what was happening in their world. That will go a long way in helping us sit in that seat of the first audience and understand what Paul is writing concerning. And we said Corinth is a what? Is a police center where you have what you will call today a city center or a commercial hall. Like you have in Lagos, you have, you know, where there's activity, market activity. And what will you find there? You'll find people from different walks of life with their different, you know, different walks of life, different language, different belief systems, right? Idols, you have different belief systems, idols, different worship systems, right? You have sexual immorality. So this now forms themes around what Paul writes about, because little by little, those some of those activities were already creeping into their gathering. Do you understand me? So Paul now has to address those things strictly. Now, a police center, you know, you can compare a Lagos to a Kwara. Sorry for those who are in Kwara or who schooled there. Hallelujah. You can compare it. Why? Because Lagos is a commercial hub. Right? Right? Or let's leave Kwara. Kwara is a bit more enlightened after the Otoge movement. Hallelujah. So, okay, are you from Kwara? You don't look it. Look like somebody from Niji. Hallelujah. So after the Otoge movement, let's leave Kwara. Let's go. Okay, yeah. I heard that there's a state called Niger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, you know, you can compare. Or Akumba. Here you understand. Why is Lagos different? Commercial hub, there's what we call small civilization, right? In Lagos than there. So that is what you find. So you find more knowledge here. Hmm? You can go to Akuma and tell somebody drone. You say drone? Is it drone? Because they might not know. I did not say they don't know. They might not know. People that don't watch TV 365 days in the year. You understand? There are things, imagine you get there, you're calling the names of some things you enjoy in Lagos. Who is that? Because they don't know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 So you find civilization. In civilization, you find what? Knowledge. Right? So, vast knowledge. Right? Right? Knowledge. You find... Sorry, I'm using Akumba as a case study. Do you guys do a Luther in that space? He says, sure. Hallelujah. I'm trying to look at something that you might not... Okay. You are enlightened and you went there. I wonder what took you there. Don't tell me it's gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, you know, that's on now. Civilization. I don't think there's any... Do they have anything like... Not you guys are in school. The area. Do they do anything like permit me? Like you just say gay. Do they know call gay? They might not know. They know all they know is man and woman, right? I'm going somewhere. They don't know anything like feminism. But somebody in Lagos don't know feminism. I mean, I believe in feminist movement. What is feminist movement? You hear that? What they know is husband and wife. Husband go to farm, right? Wife sells kerosene. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Man, I'm out for Akumba, you know, because I know you're not from there. Are you from Kogi? Are you from Akumba? But you're from Kogi. Okay, I know why now. You're from Kaba. Where? Eh? Ampa. It sounds like lantern. They carry lantern a lot. Hallelujah. But I'm trying to draw. Now, do you see, I'm doing interpretation now. No? I want us to sit in that seat of that first audience. Look at how far I'm going. Do you see? So, I'm using what you have obtainable in our world today to explain that world. Do you understand? So, you know, so it's an enlightened area. You understand? So you find some of those things that are with even around that are consistent or that you find around that area already creeping into the gathering. You understand? For example, a brother offends another brother. That should be 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What do they do? Look at 1 Corinthians 6. So, when you talk about knowledge in Corinth, not just knowledge of the word, but also knowledge generally. Hallelujah. So, they have both knowledge of the word. We're going to see that as we get to it. Paul makes credence to that, lays credence to that, that they were knowledgeable. But also, he pointed out something in chapter 1 and chapter 2 about the wisdom of this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me? About the wisdom of this world. So, you know, you now have that, okay, He shows you what was happening around. Do you understand me? He said the world in his wisdom did not know God. Are you following me? So that means in his wisdom will mean that area was an area that was vast also with knowledge. So how did that thing creep into their gathering? A brother offends another brother, or a brother offends a sister. The brother, they were taking themselves to court. Are you following me? Look at verse 1. It says, I dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before saints. Did you see? Hallelujah. He's not disputing the fact that you took your brother to court. Do you know that? He says, but he didn't even bring it before believers. He just went straight to the court. Hallelujah. Did you see that? And I went, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? If the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? So that means they take flimsy, they took themselves to court. Are you following me? So why do you think Paul didn't have such kind of complaints with some churches or with other churches? He had it there. Knowledge. Did you see? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You find those things. It is the same church because of vast knowledge around that you find Paul tell them, Paul will not be talking to wives to be submissive to their husbands. Did you see that? Feminism. Are you following me? Feminism. So you find those things around. So Paul was putting things in order. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that shows you that the knowledge of the world, irrespective of what is happening in the world, the knowledge of the Word of God does not change. It does not bend. See, God does not bend to accommodate the I don't want to use that word bend like that. To accommodate the practice of the world in the church that is wrong. Do you know that? For example, you start having feminism. We'll get there shortly. In chapter, that should be chapter 11. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we now find Paul say the woman should not speak. Right? But when you use the word woman, it's something we'll look as we are reading through. When we begin to read through, he uses that word for woman is the same word used for wives. So the Greek doesn't separate it. You know that? So intelligently, when you read in context, you know he was not talking about the fact that a woman should not stand up on the pulpit to preach. He was dealing with what? Husband and wife. But we'll look at that when we get into the reading. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So they had this knowledge around. And Paul says, you don't take your brother to court over matters you can handle. Do you understand? Hallelujah. He then says to them in verse 5 of chapter 6, I speak to your shame. He says, is there no wise amongst you? No one who shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. He said, now therefore, there is utterly a fault amongst you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Did you see that? Why do ye not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Hallelujah. Do you see that? He said, why don't you rather you take the wrong? He said, no, I have my right. According to section 7, subsection 6 of Nigeria 1999 Constitution. He said, calm down. You have a problem with the brother. He said, why not just take the fault? He said, no, you are infringing on my fundamental human rights. If your problem is too much knowledge. Are you hearing me? Hey, glory to God. Remember, Paul will now write to a Philemon, and will tell Philemon Onesimus, take him down as a brother. He said, not just for today, say forever. He's a brother forever. No longer a slave, but a brother forever. Did you see? Glory to God. So most times there are some things you just have to take wrong for, rather than driving your brother to God. Remember, I said the end point of knowledge is to do. So just to know, to do. So this is where they don't have the issue. Application, they were not applying it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So application becomes important. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Imagine your brother borrows you money and in the course of what he wanted to execute, he now lost his job or something that happened. He said, no, I'm going to take you to God. Take your brother and drag him or her from the same local church to third provost. Your matter is now opened. Your pastor now says, Pastor Dixon, calm down. Calm down. Are you using it because you're the big guy? Calm down. He said, No, sir. You are my father in the Lord, but this is not in the Lord. It is business. I'm going to deal with him. But he's your fellow minister. He's your brother. He said, No. When he used to yap at my uncle. He said, no, my issue is that he's supporting Man City. How can I beat up 5-0? No, I'm going to deal with him. This is my chance. No. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. No. Glory to God. Amen. I've seen people who claim to know the word. Fight. Believers who fight. I know you're not showing them, but this was scripture. They said, no! This is my right! But why don't take four? They said, no, I can't take four. I can't. No. Maybe because of the fire, they're speaking in tongues. So, one cup, I shut down. No. You take the four. Hallelujah. That is love. Hallelujah. That is love. Glory to God. See, but let me say something to you. Do you know taking the fall, many a times will be you walking in the spirit? That is walking in love. Now, walking in love is walking in the spirit. Hallelujah. So we are still treating the things. So I'm just teaching you that these are things you find. Now, Paul had to address it. And, he tells them to take the fall. There are times you have to take, but that is walking in the spirit. That is walking in love. You take the fault. You enjoy to watch Arsenal humiliated, but for the sake of a brother, you know he's not going to eat in the night. Do you understand? You just say, okay, because of you, I'm not going to watch. Do you understand? Just come, you know I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. So we will never allow their team play before school of the world again. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand? Like, because of the love I have for them, I didn't watch it. Because I knew they would go down. So if I had to watch it, I would finish them. Imagine I already had. But love made me not to watch. Do you understand? Love. And that is me walking in this thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what Paul did to the church in Corinth also make them see that, see, walking in the spirit is just it's doing the word. That's just it. Application of the word. Glory to God. Just do the word. It made them see that it's not abstract. Walking in the spirit is not abstract. Like the brother that said, who told him to come and lead a meeting and said, everybody close your eyes. Good angels are passing. No, everybody close your eyes. Be quiet. Bad angels are passing. Now they've gone. And we're quiet for a while. Then now they've gone. Good ones are coming now. They are coming now. So him is in the spirit. Some people when they hear in the spirit, their mind goes to avatar. Do you know that? Is that the same? But no. Paul tells you, walking in the spirit will be you what? acting in love, walking in your own. Do you understand me? So before he got to tell them about walking in the Spirit, what did he say to them in chapter 3? In fact, from chapter 2, what did he tell them? He first of all let them know that they are what? Spiritual. Right? Are you following me? I'm winding up now. My time is up. Hallelujah. Let them know that they are spiritual. Glory to God. Are they spiritual? In chapter 3, he said, but they are not acting as who they are in chapter 3. Chapter 2, they are spiritual. Chapter 2, verses 13, 14, 15. That they are spiritual, right? Chapter 3, they are not acting as who they are, right? So, he now begins to tell them. He now gets to chapter 12. Now he said, now consigning spiritual. Hallelujah. God. Did I get to temple last week? Last week. Let's talk about temple. Eh? I did, right? Mm-hmm. I have. Let's be sure. So I didn't come without notes. So I'm trying to see if I got to temple. Okay. So you don't get to. Well, I remember some that was why I quickly activated. We got what I want to say now. So this is who you are, right? And it says you are spiritual because of the Spirit, right? He now calls them together. He says he calls them the temple of God. Let's tell us that. That temple together. Right? Temple of God. Right? And when you hear temple, what comes to your mind is Genesis 1:26 images. So we find in the temple. And the image. Did I say that last week? Right? Okay, so that means last 2 weeks rather. So that means we're on track. Hallelujah. So he now says spiritual. Concerning spiritual. Now when he starts talking to them about spiritual, you discover I wasn't saying anything abstract. Right? Saying anything abstract. And how do you walk in the Spirit? It goes in chapter 13. That tells you love. So when he says spiritual, things of the Spirit, we have to tell them the things of the Spirit. Right? What you find, the things of the Spirit. The gift, the charisma in the charisma, which is the gift in the Spirit. He mentions 9, right? Right? He spoke about the operation, which is what the Spirit does, right? All the gifts, works all the gifts in all the body, right? Hallelujah. That is the operation. I'm saying this because we'll go on pneumatical. That is why I asked you to listen to pneumatical. So I'm not going to spend much time. So the gift in all the body, he has worked it, right? He has now, walking in the light of it, he now says, do I speak with tongues of men and of angels and I have not love? Say, I am what? Sounding saber. Did you? Are you getting that? Empty noise. So that means the end point is what? Doing love. Are you following me? It was that how we started this teaching? And that is how we're going to end the wrap it up now. Hallelujah. Love. So we will not tell them to walk in love. So walking in love is walking in the Spirit. Are you hearing me? It's not as, when you walk in the Spirit, it's walking in love. And it can be as simple as forgiving. That is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking in with walking in the world. Are you hearing me? So next time someone tells you, walk in the Spirit, don't say, no. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. You are where? In the Spirit. You're not out of it. You are in the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. An assignment I'm going to give online is connected to this somehow. Hallelujah. Amen. I also want to say, and I've said this thing before, right? I don't plead the blood of Jesus. You know, I'm bought with the blood, so I don't need the blood. True. But you know what? Are you covered with the blood? Yeah, I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. You know you can say that it's a believer's confession. Hallelujah. Hope you know that. You say, I am covered with the blood of Jesus. Come on. Amen. What is the blood? The Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a fact of your salvation. You are covered with the blood. So the man who is covered with the blood will speak in tongues. Hallelujah! Glory to God! We walk in the Spirit. So I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. So I walk with this. I walk in this. Glory to God. I walk in the Spirit. It's a fact of my salvation. I walk in the Spirit. And I'm not being covered because I pray I am covered. I'm saying I'm covered because this is what I have received in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I walk in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is walking in my own. Hallelujah. I walk in my own. What is walking in your own? I walk in love. So I have the capacity to love. That is it. Hallelujah. I have the capacity to love. I have the capacity to walk in love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So I believe I've done justice to this introductory part of 1 Corinthians. Amen. So when we see after CFC, we will start reading and some other explanations will follow suit immediately. Glory to God. Let's be on our feet. Some other explanations will follow suit after CRC. As in, as we get